today's episode, I interview Yana Robinson, a poet, author, coach, all about truth. She shares her vulnerable story and how it led her to her truth. She shares why truth is her passion and why she loves helping people find theirs. This is an intimate and inspiring episode, so let's get going. Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, two naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere, so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about. And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes. Did you know proper hydration and mineral balance are key for hormone health, fertility, and preparing for pregnancy? That's why Dr. Morgan and I love Relight from Redmond, the real salt people, a USA-made electrolyte powder made with unrefined sea salt and 60-plus trace minerals, plus bioavailable potassium, calcium, and two forms of magnesium. And yep, they taste amazing. I'm a lemon-lime girl, but Dr. Morgan's all about that strawberry lemonade. Head to redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 15% off. Again, head to redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER. Stay hydrated, ladies. Yana Robinson is a poet, author, coach, and the founder of Your Truth is Your Medicine, a year-long program that has supported over 1,000 people in creating authentic belonging across every area of their lives, career, relationship, family, place, voice, and self. For over a decade, Yana has guided people in building lives and businesses rooted in truth and meaning. Through more than 200 purpose sessions facilitated one-on-one, she helps entrepreneurs and CEOs identify their authentic gifts and shape careers that align with who they truly are. She also works within organizations and companies to foster cultures of meaning and belonging. Yana's work lives at the intersection of truth, purpose, and meaning. Whether she's working with someone individually or speaking to thousands through her programs, her mission is to help people come home to themselves and build lives from that place. She is the author of two books of poetry with over 23,000 copies sold globally, and her work has been featured on The Today Show, in Women's Health Magazine, Sydney Morning Herald, Forbes, CBC, Huffington Post, and Inc. Business Magazine. Okay, Yana, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I can't wait to hear your story and just all the wisdom and goodies that you have to share. Thank you for being here.
I'm so excited to be here. And I've heard so many amazing things about you through, we have a mutual friend, Hannah. So it's been so good to connect and also get to know you and your work. And I'm excited to have a conversation.
Yeah, amazing. So for those who don't know you, can you just tell us a little bit about your story? I love asking about stories and kind of why people do what they do and kind of what led them on this path to, you know, their mission in the world. Can you just kind of tell us your story?
Yes. I do many things, but I, being a storyteller and a writer, was my very first medium. So yes, but I just need to warn you, I'm not a woman of a few words. So
that's why this is a podcast and not
just grab a coffee or a glass of water and lean back. So I've actually had a really beautiful reflection moment this week. And I don't know if you ever feel this too, where you look at your calendar and it's full of incredible conversations and interviews. I had an amazing speaking opportunity, one of the biggest ones in my career, show up this week.
And wow, congrats. Thanks.
Yeah. And sometimes I just have these moments where I'm like, none of this would exist if I didn't have this one moment 12 years ago. If I wouldn't have had the courage to bet on myself and the courage to make different choices than the ones, and hard, scary, courageous choices. And it's interesting because every day, part of my work is being a coach. I sit with people and they tell me what they really want. And the thing is when we really want something for our lives, if we don't have the courage to take it seriously, we have to take it seriously. No one else around us are going to take our dreams or how we feel or the things that we want seriously. And I have had this fullness in my life that sometimes we're like, whoa, it's a lot, but it's beautiful. And I none of it would even exist if I didn't have this moment. So I would love to share this moment because it's my heart. And yes. I think that we all have these, you know, everybody has a hero's journey. I like to call it the heroine's journey because I'm a woman. We have this hero's journey, this call to adventure when we hear that we might need to change a foundational part of our life. And mine kind of happened all at once. And it was 12 years ago. I'm Canadian. I was living in Edmonton, Alberta at the time. And it started with a feeling. And sometimes information shows itself in that way. And for me, the information that I got was just sort of this sadness and kind of like a dense feeling in my body. And it also showed up in, I wanted to go back to sleep when I woke up. And I want to say that because so often when we think about vices and numbing and avoiding, we're like, cover that shit in wine, like eat pizza. You know, there's these more obvious ways to avoid misalignment, and misalignment causes pain. And I felt it in like, I don't want to be awake because this iteration of my life I'm living doesn't contain me anymore. And I was bartending and serving. And as you shared and read, I'm an author and a poet, and I'm really creative. And none of those things. I also want to note that I believe that some people's genuine genius zone is working in the hospitality industry or being a real estate agent. It wasn't for me. And so every time I showed up to work, I went, I really think I have a lot more to say than would you like a coffee refill? Yeah. And I felt this sadness of my life was passing me by, and I had these incredible gifts. Since I was in grade 3, I had short stories published, but no one around me was making it as an author. No one around me. Now I feel like we have the internet, so you can see more people succeeding at really random things. But 12 years ago, no one was there doing it. I didn't have anything to, no one around me. I was the first entrepreneur in my family. And so I knew that I wanted to use my gifts. And I also really didn't like the minus 30 degrees Celsius winters. I am part Greek and I never liked the environment. It was industrial. It was like an oil town. And it didn't work for me either, the city that I was living in. And sometimes we know what it is that we need to change and we avoid it for a period of time. But I had this moment and it was 3:45 PM and I was sitting, I remember looking at the clock and I remember what I was wearing. I was wearing this gray suit jacket from Aritzia and I had an Americano from Starbucks on my desk. And I used to drink Americanos with two creams and two sugars, and it was all curdled and gross. And Elizabeth Gilbert has this line where she says, you know, you can eat the shit sandwich of your life for so long until you can't eat the shit sandwich anymore.
Yeah.
And I, to this day, when I was a kid, I got sick off of like potato and leek soup. And to this day, I can't even look at a leek. And I feel this way about Americanos from Starbucks. It was like the smell and the moment. And I just went, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just completely off Starbucks now. Sorry, Starbucks. And yeah. Starbucks is out. And, I couldn't do it. And I remember just picking up the phone and I went, I don't even necessarily know if this is going to work. But we have to have these moments where we claim that it is what we want. And I called my mom at the time and I just said, I know it sounds kind of crazy, but I think I'm going to move to BC. I really liked this idea of being a cabin, like living in the woods in a cabin as a writer and like being Bon Iver. And I was like, I'm going to have a wood stove and I'm going to chop wood and I'm going to make all this art and like every unoriginal artist in the world. But I was very romanticized. Later, yeah. It was a whole thing. I didn't even know how to use an axe. There was bears tearing the siding of this cabin. It was terrifying and beautiful and terrifying. But I had this idea of being an artist and it was enough to pull me a little bit. And I also just really wanted trees and I wanted an ocean. And people think this, and our preferences around cities are shallow. And I'm like, no, your environment is such an indicator of how you feel. Your body's a big environment. You know this. And I love Louise Hay's work. And really what I was feeling at this moment in my life at 3:45 PM was I started to feel depressed. And she talks about how when we start to feel trapped in our lives, the emotional cause behind depression, according to Louise Hay, who I love, is that, yeah, it can create into a space of feeling some depression in our bodies. And the way to break it is through realizing the power of choice. Mm-hmm. And she also says in her book that suicide, one step further, is that we are stopping seeing if there's any choices. It's just things are black or white. It's live or die.
Right.
And meanwhile, we're on a highway and there's all these exits that are constantly flowing and we can choose to get off, but we start to forget that. We're like, I'm married. Guess what? There's divorce. Please, it's good to go to couples therapy and try and make it work. I don't want to be a proposal, but like there are choices. Nothing really. You can sell a house. You can quit a job. The death is permanent, but okay. You know, and some people would say there's reincarnation, but we have the ability to change and to make choices in our lives. And I, at this moment I went, okay, I'm starting to feel this sadness and depression and I don't want to be here. So I called my mama. Love a mom. 35, still love a mom. And I just said, yeah, I'm going to move. And I also want to note that 6 months prior to that moment, I had had a conversation with a incredible filmmaker and author, and she did plant the seed for me. And it took me 6 months. I had a bit of the information, but it took me a moment to really find my courage. And this is something that we miss, is that I think people sometimes have this, sometimes you can have a piece of awareness and you go make change, but sometimes you need to integrate. Actually, that integration is mature. You can go to a Tony Robbins event and blow up your whole life, but maybe you could sit with it for a week and do one thing at a time so you don't destabilize. Like, you know, if you need to leave a relationship and a job, space it out a little bit. and so I had this conversation 6 months prior, and she's an Oscar qualified Gemini nominated filmmaker, author, total badass, made a film on Everest. And she's my mom's friend. And we were kayaking on the Sunshine Coast 6 months before this moment. And I remember looking at her when we were kayaking and just going, how did you do it? Like, how did you pay your life and your bills as an artist, and like just the one single question sometimes can redirect and to a degree, save feels too strong, but, and too visceral, but it feels like it redirected my whole life. This one question, it took 6 months to take action on it. But, I said to her, like, how did you do it? And I love the power of story. That's why I'm sharing my story right now. I teach through story. And she shared her story with me. And she said, I was a journalist in Vancouver and I got tired of photographing trauma. My job was to photograph a plane crash or a car accident. And I wanted to tell different stories. And she heard about an expedition that happened in Canada. It was a sovereignty mission once a year where the military and the First Nations Rangers go by snowmobile to the northernmost part of the Arctic and plant a flag. And she loved this. I don't know if you don't know this, when you get to the high Arctic, Western devices, everything freezes, it stops working. So, you know, the military's, all of their fancy equipment was useless when you get to a certain place. And they needed the wisdom and the knowledge of the First Nation Rangers to get them the way. And she loved this merging of worlds. And so she called them and just said, I want to come. I want to come on the expedition and cover it. And they were like, who are you? And they hung up on her. And she called back and said, no, I want to come. I'll write a book. I'll do a feature article. I'll tell the story. And she ended up going on this expedition, and the National Film Board of Canada licensed it. She wrote a book called This Land, and it kickstarted her career as an adventure filmmaker. And she's went on Oscar qualified, like all of these amazing.
Wow.
Paramount just licensed her film. She spent 6 years walking across Canada. She still continues to inspire me as a woman and an artist. But I had this conversation with her where she shared her courage. And then she looked at me and she said, just change one thing. Sometimes you just have to change one thing. And so I thought of her and I was like, well, I'm just going to change the city that I live in. And I'm also going to start writing once I get to British Columbia. I didn't really know where. But I called my mom and I also said, can you ask Dee? I still needed jobs. I still needed to have a job and make money and have like a, you know, I wasn't convinced I could really make it as an artist yet. So that came later. And so I said, you know, if Dee has anyone who is a developer or if I could get a serving job. And as I'm on the phone, Leah, this woman walks into the show suite office. And I have to share this because not always when we claim the life that we want, does the universe really conspire to make it happen, but sometimes it does.
Yeah.
I've had both. Like, I don't want to bullshit you guys. Like, I had a business visa to live in the States and it was denied. So I was like, universe, what the fuck? But in this moment, it transpired in my favor. And I had this beautiful moment of not serendipity. I believe it was choice. And I believe it was an encouragement to start walking in this direction and away from the misalignment and how that was feeling in my body and what that would have even created if I would have stayed longer in it. And I was at the show suite and this woman walked in and at this time I was actually waiting for $10,000. And I also want to name that sometimes when we go to make a change, a big change in our lives, we're waiting for some sort of shoe to drop. We're like, oh, just when that thing happens. And the developer I was working for hadn't paid me. And there was some commission stuff locked up and something. I don't even remember what it was. I never got the money, but ever. It never happened. So also, if you're waiting, it just may never happen. But I had this moment where I remember this woman walked in and she wasn't, and also real quick, $10,000 was a lot of money at this point.
Yeah.
In my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was making like $30,000 at this point in my life. It was a lot. And this woman walked in and she wasn't a new person that was going to buy a condo. So I wasn't going to make commission off of her. She was my business partner at the time. It was her client. And thank God I had integrity because she was like, listen, I know you're closing in 15 minutes. And I'm like on the phone being like, you're fucking up this big life moment. And I'm so checked out of this job and Edmonton and like, lady, get out of here. But she was like, please, please, please. I'm here visiting. Can I come and can I come see my unit? And so I have integrity. So I'm like, yes. And I put on my hard hat and we walk through the construction site. And then she starts to share her story with me. And that happens. I'm a coach. I think I'm a pretty safe, vulnerable person because of people are vulnerable with me in the world because I am vulnerable in the world. And she's sharing about her dad being sick and she's buying this condo to move back to Alberta to take care of him. And then she says, I have this cabin in BC.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, she's like, I don't know what to do with this cabin. And I'm like, really? And she's like, yeah, I don't know if I want to sell it, but I don't want a stranger living there. I really care about energy. And I'm like, this is going to sound so crazy, but you interrupted a conversation where I said I was moving to BC. Where's the cabin? And she says, oh, it's on the Sunshine Coast, which is where Dee lives.
Oh,
and I'm like, well, here's the other pieces that like, how much is it? We started to talk and I was like, I don't have money. Like I was like, I'm waiting for this money. If I move, it's going to be not a financially stable move. I didn't have savings at the time. And I also like am completely self-sustained and have paid for every dollar of my life with I wish that I had a rich uncle, didn't have a rich uncle to call. And I remember just telling her like, I'm waiting for this money. And she said, you know, you can live in this cabin for free if you need to or want to. And just, I didn't end up living in the cabin. I went and saw the cabin, but ended up falling in love with this other cabin that was by a creek, and there was a big skylight that came through, and it was on this beautiful land. But I'm sharing this story because it is a mix. Like, I think that when we do start to claim that we're ready for this next version of our lives, there is some support and encouragement that comes from, you know, I'm more somebody who's more spiritual, but even if you believe in a God, like wherever it comes from, I think that there starts to be this encouragement. Mm-hmm. And
I completely agree.
Yes. And so I did it. I like put my life in my car. And I also just want to share that, and this is important and important to name as well. I feel like especially I want to just like say this because of where the world is at is, I actually, Leah, when my life was in my car and I was about to go, I also got an internship with Dee. So I ended up getting, it was like $10 an hour, but I moved to the Sunshine Coast. And then she was like, you want to be an artist. So come learn from me. I still served. I still bartend. I had like four jobs to make it all happen. But I, as I was like dream life moving, I got pregnant. And I didn't want to be a mom. It was a very new relationship, and I spent a lot of time. I knew I could do this and be a mom because there are incredible mothers in my life that do both. And I know that is possible. It was not the person, it was not the time. And I chose to have an abortion. And so part of my hero's journey was not only not having financial support, but I literally had an abortion and alone and moving to this tiny cabin middle of nowhere. It was like winter. And that was such a like a initiation full of, even though I knew I was at peace with my choice, so much emotion and just to go through it in this environment where I knew nobody on the Sunshine Coast. I wasn't planning to write about this, but I was laying in bed the week after and this piece of writing poured out of me. And I want to share this because I teach and write truth. But up until this moment, I had done neither. I had written really cute, fluffy articles like the best teas for winter. And like people were reading my stuff, but it wasn't really. And this piece of writing poured out of me about my process in figuring out if I was going to have an abortion and all the neutrality and non-neutrality. I had a doctor who told me to not do it and put his own opinion on me. I had family and friends that were neutral, not neutral. There was so much that came into making this choice. And I wanted to share it so that somebody else reading could have. And I also want to share, I also, so many women have come up to me at my book events. I published a book and I've over and over heard from women the impact of this article being shared. And one of them is, I had a shamanic teacher who led me through like a conversation right before the abortion, because we don't know when the soul enters the body. And I didn't know if, I think that like souls look around and they like shop for us and they're like, that looks a little messy, but it looks fun. Or like, you know, like, ooh, that looks like, you know, and they kind of look down. And so I had this conversation with, I sat in front of my wood stove and I remember saying, you know, I don't really know if you're in there, little soul, but like if you've arrived early, because sometimes I think when we have babies late too, it's like takes a little bit longer for them to arrive sometimes. If you have arrived, I just wanted to say like, thank you for choosing me. And this is really not the moment. And if you want to be born right now and you want to go find a different mom to do life with, I support that.
Yeah.
And if you want to wait and come back and, you know, find me in the future and do this thing, I'd like love to be your mom then, but like, this is not the moment. And, so I shared, okay, emotional thinking about it. It's like, I shared all of that. And, it was really raw. I was actually really scared, Leah. I was like, what? It came out of me and I didn't know if I was ever going to share it publicly. I sat with it. I integrated and sat with, and I think that truth like that is raw like that, it's good to integrate and sit with it. And so I spent a lot of time because I had a boyfriend at the time who like didn't show up at the abortion clinic for, like, there's so many things. I didn't want to share it to hurt him or all these things. And so I ended up deciding to share it months and months later in this cabin, because there was so much shame around abortion, and it was such a thing that happens all the time. And there was nothing that I had read like that. And it would have been helpful for me to have had it. So it's called, the article's called Aborting Shame, One Woman's Experience with an Abortion. And I published it on Elephant Journal. And at first I was like, I am not sharing that with my friends and family, because I can handle 30 million readers that I do not know, but like hell, am I going to be in a coffee shop and have Carl from, you know, grade 12 walk up to me and be like, hey, I read your article. Like, mm-hmm. Nope, that's way more vulnerable. And so at first I was like, no, I'm not doing it. And then I did. And I decided that I was so at peace with my choice, nothing could alter that. And that I also committed to teaching through truth and my own story. And I'm sharing this moment because this was a huge part of me meeting my own purpose. And also I work with people around truth, and this was a massive moment of embracing that. And also there's also crucification and meaning sometimes in truth. And so oftentimes when we have the courage to be brave, we get both of it. I got called everything from Woman of the Year. I ended up sharing it on my Facebook and social medias. Woman of the Year to murderer by my first boyfriend, who is Christian. And I also got 400 comments, messages, and emails from all of these women saying, me too. Like, I can't thank you so much for sharing. And one of them read, I was 16 and my dad dropped me off at the clinic, and he told me not to tell anyone, not even my mom. And I'm 40 and you're the very first person that I'm telling.
Oh, it breaks my heart.
Yeah. And I saw this amazing ability for truth, if as a writer, to really heal. And since then, I also felt like the truth helped to heal me. And since then, I have not only used it as a writer, I continued to commit to, if you ever read my writing, you're gonna be like, shit, this is honest. And that's why, just so you know. It's bold, and it's like, you know, either repelling or you love it. But my life was transformed, and my relationship to my creativity, when that moment happened, it was just like, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to teach through truth. And it's going to be like really hard and scary and vulnerable and sometimes messy. But I'm going to commit to teaching through my story. And I later ended up, I was spending like 4 hours a day responding to comments and messages and emails of people asking me questions about their life. And a lot of the times it was about truth. And that's what led me into coaching, which I've done for 12 years. And I work with people largely around transforming their lives through listening to that truth, which is what untrapped my life 12 years ago, led me to find my voice as a writer, my purpose. And then also, like, 1,000 people have been through my program, Your Truth is Your Medicine.
Let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. There are so many factors that impact egg quality. Stress, toxins, and energy issues are just a few. Stress and toxins increase oxidative damage that negatively impact your eggs, and eggs need adequate mitochondrial energy to mature properly. It's so important to support your eggs no matter where you are along your fertility journey. I personally love Needed's egg support product to do just that. I helped design this formula, so I obviously love it, but even if I hadn't, it would be the one I would recommend to my patients and clients. This formula is an antioxidant and mitochondrial powerhouse that supports oxidative damage and the energy powerhouses, mitochondria. It has key ingredients like L-carnitine, green tea extract, PQQ, and ALA. I love pairing it with Needed's prenatal to get your essential nutrients, as well as their CoQ10 for an antioxidant boost. Visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER at checkout to save 20% off your first order. Again, visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20%. Okay, now back to the show.
It's insane. And so it's not only has it just been so transformative for me, and a lot of us have this experience of something transforms us and then it becomes our career. But I've now got to work with and play with truth in all of these different ways. And I'm so grateful, I'm so grateful that I had that moment. I'm so grateful that I listened and tuned in inside, because it's sometimes crazy, the changes that we want to make. We're like, is this insane? Like, I have clients who are like, this feels delulu. And I'm like, I know. But we have to listen, because when we start to feel pain in our bodies, and I know, you know, you're a naturopathic doctor, it's like so much of our emotional and mental is woven in with our physical. The cost of not listening isn't just how we feel, it's the what manifests in our body from that. And so when I went to this little cabin, and another little tidbit I want to share is, it was, by the way, it's really hard to like learn how to use an axe and a wood stove. And, I was very romanticized by this idea of living in a cabin. But I also had this, I was raised by hippies, but I really like embraced, I used to straighten my hair and wear tons of makeup, and I was like Gucci Prada. And I just was like, what the fuck do I look like? My hair's curly. Like I wouldn't leave the house with my hair straight before. I also, in this phase of my life, was like, I'm going to look like what I look like, and I'm going to be naked and do mirror work like Louise Hay and love this. And I also chose to go off birth control. So I know it's part of your work. And I actually had this really funny moment. So Sunshine Coast is full of like hippies, artists, like lots of really amazing artists live out there. And then like draft dodgers and like whole combo. But I met this woman, and as I was in the cabin, she was like, yeah, like I went off birth control. And she's like, lately, like when I pee in the woods, I can like feel the earth. I'm like connected to the earth again. And at this time, I was peeing in the woods. I was really connecting to like myself and the natural world. I was like completely alone, surrounded by trees. So it was so beautiful. And I love peeing in the woods. I've always loved to pee in the woods, but like, I really peed in the woods at this part of my life. I miss peeing in the woods. I like when I'm on a hike and there's no one around, I'm like, yes, I'm going to pee in the woods.
that's your new t-shirt idea. I miss peeing in the woods.
I don't know. I love it. Some people are like, girl, you're crazy. But yeah. But anyways, I decided to go off birth control. And because of partially literally what that woman said to me, I was like, I want to feel the earth and feel connected again to like the rhythms and my body. And birth control is like the devil. It's like, you know, you think you like a man, go off birth control, you won't like him anymore. And it's just all kinds of things. You are much more educated on the medical science of that. I'm just mad at it. Yeah. And so I had also this comeback into my body, my cells. I had a conversation earlier today, and a woman was saying that like part of our hormonal connection to our body is that there's like truth to it that informs us. Yes. That if we're numbed down and we're like, oh, I'm always pregnant because our body's flushed full of hormones, it's like very similar to just being drinking wine all the time. Or I don't know, would you agree?
Yeah. Well, so my whole interpretation is that symptoms are the intelligence of your body. And that is how our body talks to us. You know, it says, I'm good, I'm happy. So you have energy and you feel good in your body, or something's misaligned. And so I have a gut problem, or I have a mood issue. Or like you said, you wake up and you don't want to wake up. You know, it's like, whether you have a hormonal problem or whatever you're experiencing, to me, that's the language of our body. And conventional medicine has been taught to just suppress it and cover it up with medications. And birth control is the same in that regard. It's like, oh, you have painful periods, you have irregular periods, you have acne, you have whatever. Let's just suppress it. The analogy that I like to use is a fire alarm. If you have a fire in your body and the alarm is going off, those are your symptoms. When we use birth control, that's just like unplugging the fire alarm. It's like, great, we've silenced this annoying thing, but you haven't dealt with the fire. And there's wisdom in the fire. There's wisdom in listening to what that means. And I think that's what you mean, like coming back to yourself and connecting with that, because we're meant to be in our natural way and ask the questions, how are you doing? And how can I shift and change to be more in alignment so that your natural state is actually healthy and feeling well versus medicating it to be well. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Cause I have a fibroid. I think I had a fibroid for a long time. And that was part of what was being masked, was that pain of that fibroid. Yes. Very much. Well said. Me over here. I'm like, birth control is the devil. And you're like,
I love it. I love it. This is like why we all are needed in the world. I mean, you know, and it, there's so much to say about birth control. And my biggest beef with it, especially, is when it's used for symptom management, because you're not doing a service. I get it where, you know, a woman would be like, I'm in pain. And so I'm on birth control. Now I'm not in pain anymore. There is a level of that that is nice, but you're not really doing a woman service because you're not actually dealing with what's going on. And if ever she wants to get off of it for whatever reason, whether it's to connect with herself like you or to get pregnant, then they're like, oh my gosh, like what? Like my body is even more out of alignment and more out of flow because you weren't actually solving anything. You were just masking it. And that's my biggest beef with birth control.
Yeah, I agree. And I've thought about going back on it at points in my journey with healing my hormones, because it's like the easy band-aid, you know? And that's also a part of my work, is like, you know, there's always easy, like, you know, if you're mad at your husband, you can drink 3 glasses of wine. You're a little less mad at him, but like, you know, do we actually, what's the payoff of band-aiding these things, both physically and emotionally? And, I'm so also very intense to like do that at the same time as everything else. There was like, I was very extreme with all the things that I went through. I love that intersection of, even it was just today, actually, I was just realizing, oh yeah, that was also when I started to, I did it all. All at once.
Like a life rehaul.
It really was. I don't know what they call that in 2025, but usually you just there's like desert things where you go and do detoxes. But I told you I wasn't a woman of a few words. I love telling stories, and that's a part of my story, and just listening to those little truths along the way. Not little truths, large truths, sometimes little truths, but those were some big truths that I first heard. And just being able to kind of recreate my life. And so this week, I've really been feeling the impact of the choice I made 12 years ago. And this always happens because I'm gearing up to teach this program that I've teach. And spoiler alert, Leah's going to be in it. it's not available yet. Leah will be in part of it. I'm so excited to have you be a part of it. And whenever I start to, I don't know if you ever feel this when you're about to launch something, or if it's something you've created in the past, there can almost also be a moment too where you're like, I've done that. Like, whatever, it's done. I've done it. But I'm like, no, when I start to re-engage, and this is actually a 6-month build with my team and all of it, because I do this free 10-day experience, which we'll talk about in a moment, which I'd love for anyone listening to come. But we do this whole thing. And as I start to engage in it, I start to really pay attention and connect back with the actual teachings. And so traveling back in time, but then also, you know, it's like I have a moment of stress and it's like, do I pour a glass of wine or do I like meditate for 10 minutes? And I get to see those pathways and things that I work with people in show up. And I love that. It's like it enchants me again with work that is not new. It's 12 years, you know, in the past. But that being said, every time I do this program, like we're adding new teachers of truth and new people coming in to share truth in different fields and modalities. And I also do, like, there's new people every time and there's new stories. And so it's always kind of new to me. But I felt today just so grateful. I got this massive speaking opportunity. Like, I'm going to have to go find a speaking training coach for it. It's huge. Wow, big. Brené Brown was one of the previous speakers.
Oh my gosh. Like, amazing.
Top three. And none of that is possible if we don't meet ourselves in truth and if we don't start listening. And for you, a lot of the times clients are bringing you truth as symptoms or things in their bodies. For me in my work, a lot of the times it's, hey, Yana, I'm emotionally feeling trapped. Hey, yeah. Yana, I'm emotionally feeling apathetic. And
as I was going to say, can you go into, like, for someone listening, how would someone know if they aren't listening to their truth, or how, because sometimes that might feel abstract to someone to be like, well, I don't know if I'm living my truth or if I'm in my truth, or what are signs that I'm not? Like, can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. I think that, like, it's how we feel. So we usually feel a degree, I think, if we're connected to how we feel, because some of us live top up in our heads and don't sometimes tune in as deeply. You got to pay rent in your body first to be able to feel the feelings. And that's a journey some of us have taken. And I think we can continue to take. You got to pay rent to get in there. For me, my very first indicator is how I feel. And so if I'm feeling pain or anxiety, or like, really for this, the course of what we're going to say, I'm going to say, like, if you're starting to feel apathetic or like a little depressed or a little, there's like a bit of a feeling of that. I think usually for me, I get really curious around, where is this coming from? Because there's some big core elements of my life that are environments for me. And one of them is my work. Mm-hmm. Big one is our relationship, our core, if we have a partnership or a marriage, how's that environment? Mm-hmm. And friendships, core friendships, sometimes there can be something off in a friendship and you feel it inside. So friendships are our community, or those are just as important. Even family relationships, we can have stuff off and know that we need to have a conversation, a sweaty, uncomfortable conversation, a boundary. Our health, our relationship with ourselves. Like, I start to feel off sometimes when I'm not caring for myself or doing some of those pieces. So there's kind of these containers, or our cities, like, some people really do need to move. And that's part of honoring how they're feeling is, I have this amazing woman on my team, and she's a singer, and she moved to Nashville. And that was a huge part of what she needed, and a truth that she had to honor as well, is that, like, cities are also sometimes just for a season or a reason, you know, they're not, you know, so it's like not always a lifetime. And so I think that for anyone listening in being like, what do you mean truth and listening, I hope that you have connection to your feelings. And if you can tune into how you feel, my barometer on the scale was depression and feeling trapped and wanting to sleep all day. Like I said, like, literally waking up. If you wake up and you don't want to be awake, or you want to turn the TV on or zone out on your phone or get drunk or go shopping for a bunch of fake dopamine that's going to wear off. Even sometimes dysfunctional, like, junk food relationships or things can be distractions or things that we're engaging in. But those types of pieces are usually an indicator when we have vices of something being off. Like, we're numbing and we're avoiding it. And if you're reaching for those types of things, whether it's wine or whatever it is, it's good to look at, what is that thing that maybe is causing me pain? And you do physical pain. So maybe if you sometimes, yes, you need a doctor, and there's like physical pain. I don't want to, but like, if you're feeling an emotional pain,
yeah.
But like, mainly I'm talking about emotional pain. That is an indicator, I think, that something's not in alignment. Like, if your knee goes out, your knee's going to be in pain. I think your emotional body is very similar. It's like,
yeah.
Hey, you know, and sometimes it's like your partner is maybe cheating on you and having an affair, and things just feel off. You don't even have that information yet, but you have this feeling of something, of an absence in the marriage or the relationship. And that feeling is information of, maybe the truth is, I just need to go have a conversation. Something feels off. And women are fucking witches. We are so intuitive. We're right a lot of the time. Not to, like, feed the confirmation bias, but
yeah,
sometimes it's our past or fear, but like, when you have a feeling, and part of my work is around expression and communication, it's so important to have those conversations. Hey, you feel a little distant this week. What's going on? And listening to that truth that came in a feeling, and then taking action by communicating, is really important. And then if there's actual proof and data that that person is cheating on you and not changing behavior, the truth may change into, I need to leave. I need to protect who I am and not abandon and leave because this person isn't willing to do their work to step back in. So there's little moments of truth and there are larger moments of truth and they require different degrees of courage. But I think that, and again, sometimes the truth is I need trees. I want a cabin and I want to do the whole romanticized little moment. Did I answer that one?
Yeah, I love it. That was great. Gosh, I just feel like, could you imagine how different our world would be if instead of all of the indoctrination in school that kids learn over and over again, we are taught to have conscious communication and we're taught to connect with our bodies and we're taught to look into our own inner truth. Could you imagine like what the world would be like? I just think about that because almost everything I teach and a lot of the things that probably you teach, no one learns ever unless you have a really conscious mentor or parent or somebody like that. Where do you learn these things? You know, I mean, how do you learn how to have these hard conversations with people that you love and how to, you know, navigate challenging situations and how to connect in with your body? I mean, people just don't know these things and that's so sad. So even to say something like just connect with yourself, some people might be like, well, I don't even know how to do that. Do you have a simple practice that you recommend for clients maybe if they're kind of new on this journey to connect with themselves? Like, is it a meditation? Is it the stuff with Louise Hay? Which, by the way, before you answer, I love that you have such a connection with Louise Hay. For anyone who doesn't know, she's amazing. You should go look her up. I actually got the privilege of meeting her when I was deciding which naturopathic medical school to go to. I was living in Washington at the time and I was going to go to the school up in Washington, but my brother was living in San Diego and he's like, you should just come check it out. You know, it was a new school, so I was a little apprehensive, but my husband was really struggling with the weather in Washington. So I came down, and the one day that I went to visit Bastyr, the school that I went to, Louise Hay was there giving a talk. And I had never met her. I didn't know anything about her. And I was just like, who is this woman? You know, and we got a free book, like a signed book from her. And I read it and she changed my life as well. I did all the mirror work. That was kind of my first introduction into, you know, manifesting and just creating this dream life and checking in with my body and seeing how I feel. And I've had my own health healing journey for a long time, but she was pivotal in my journey too. So that's really fun that we both have that in our journeys. So what a special love. And yes, You Can Heal Your Life. For people who aren't watching the video, her book, You Can Heal Your Life, is amazing. She was one of the first self-help book editors, you know, the Hay House, if anyone's seen anything published by them, was her creation. So she's this very special soul, obviously is no longer with us earthside, but just amazing that we both have her and our journey. How special.
She lived here too.
I know.
Yeah, I love that you met her. She got acupuncture in the same building as me when she was alive. And I had my acupuncturist would be like, Louise Hay comes here. And I'd like,
Just like bask in her energy.
Yeah. This is one of my Bibles. This and Animals Speak, because I have a mom who's like totally into shamanism. I was like raised. I'd see like a grasshopper. She'd be like, look up grasshopper. Those are the two books on my desk that I use all the time. And for those of you that are also listening, you can look up like she has like the potential emotional piece behind something physical. And it's really interesting. Like if you're losing your sight, it could be like, is there something that you don't want to see in your life? She kind of just sparks some questions of curiosity around. And then the using the affirmations is actually neuroscience. Everyone's like, it's so woo. I'm like, no, it's neuroscience. So yeah, she was, and I think continues to be a pillar in bridging those pieces. So, I really, really love her work.
So that brings me back to, I know one of her practices is mirror work, you know, sitting in front of a mirror. So for you, for clients or for anybody who's like, I just don't know how to check in with myself or how to even know if I'm happy or not. Do you have an exercise or a practice that you recommend?
Well, two things. You should come June 2nd to 12th. And that really, it's a free thing. I'm not selling anything. We have a session inside of this free experience live where I'm going to talk to you about vices and numbing. And I would say, Leah, for anyone who hasn't maybe tuned into how they feel, the very first thing we need to do is look at how we're avoiding feeling and how we're numbing feeling. And so the very first step to that is stopping the vices and the numbing. And so if you know that one of your vices is drinking wine, don't drink wine and see how you feel. If one of your vices is shopping or being a workaholic, see what happens if you go take a couple of days off work and you're alone, what shows up. Because a lot of people that I know that are busy go into crisis when they're alone. They're like, okay, there's stuff here and it was full and now it's not.
Yep.
That's great advice. Yeah. So that's one of the first, and I'm actually teaching a whole 2-hour session on that. So I would say like, come learn and we can talk. There's a workbook and reflection.
Can you tell us more about this free event? Because that sounds so great.
Yeah. So once a year, I film a course live, but it is this incredible community experience where it's free and you get this like front row seat. It's exclusive. You do have to like apply and there's an application to be a beta. Beta means to test. And so basically I'm testing curriculum and content for a course. And I like to teach things live. I'm like a live teacher. I like to do things with people in the room. It gives me energy. And then in exchange for feedback, there's an opportunity at one point to share and it doesn't always have to be positive feedback, but like, hey, was it helpful? We do 3 teaching days. There's 3 curriculum focused sessions that are kind of like 3 mini workshops on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So it's like, I think it's the 4th, 5th, and 6th. And then you have like catch up days to watch the recordings. And I do 2 hot seat coaching days. And we talk about, there's a whole session on vices and numbing, which is that 0.5 of, also one of my ways I avoided was travel. Ugh, I was like a travel junkie. I was like, put me on a plane to Thailand and let me forget about how misaligned my life is. I'll just kiss an Australian man and drink a margarita. That was probably one of my biggest, alcohol has actually not been one of my vices. I know I'm like making jokes about wine, but travel was a big one. Netflix was a big one. Work was a big one and sleep. I bartended for a long time, so I saw alcoholism a lot. So it always really turned me off. I'm really grateful that wasn't one of my own vices. But when it comes to – so yeah, we talk about vices and numbing in one session. We also do a whole conversation on integrity and agreements because a lot of the time that's also a great way to check in with our relationship with ourselves is our follow through with some of those pieces. And getting ready to make changes or choices in your life requires confidence and courage. And if you're constantly breaking your word to yourself, that breaks trust. We do a session on the masks that we wear, and we often think that the masks are helping or protecting, but they're often hurting because connection requires authenticity and you to bring that you to those parts of your life. It's, I think, one of the saddest things. And one of the things I say constantly is like, there is only one you. So we get to have this conversation once. And if I don't bring it, I'm robbing you the experience of knowing the only me that ever exists. And that is why it is critical that we take off our masks. And here's the scary thing about taking off your mask is, yes, sometimes relationships will fall out of your life. And sometimes they will get so much better. And so there is risk and there is also this really, really beautiful reward of meaning and fulfillment. So we teach, there's way more, but that's some of it. And then we do hot seat coaching. And the one thing I want to say is that there is some healing that I believe needs to happen one-on-one in a room with a therapist. And I'm all about that. Larry Laveman, Solana Beach, I have my own. I get it. But there is healing that only happens in community spaces like this where we witness and are witnessed. Because here's why. When I'm working with somebody one-on-one, I'm looking at them. And you know, if you're looked at, your survival patterns, your defense mechanisms are all like, you're looking at me. And I'm like, I am looking at you. And they're like, I don't know if I'm going to let it in. But when I have somebody in the hot seat, like we do for 2 days, and it's really beautiful to come, people have the most profound and biggest breakthroughs sometimes through the question of somebody that they don't even know. Yeah. Because if I'm working with somebody who, for instance, like has, and often it's because it gets rid of the shame, because when you're alone one-on-one with a therapist in a room, you can still walk away with shame. But what happens in these community experiences is if I'm doing a hot seat and coaching somebody and there's like 400 people on a call, you know, one person could be in the bathtub eating snacks, video off, and all of a sudden I might start to hone in on a particular vice. Like actually, like sometimes it's sex or masturbation that people are using to avoid pain. And I had a woman once who like told me that was her vice, which was, I love, because I think stereotypically we associate it with men, but it was a woman. And I start to get in this conversation with her, and I can guarantee you, we think we're so unique in the ways that we avoid pain and that we numb, and we aren't. This human experience is so shared. And there'll be somebody like in a bathtub eating snacks that stops and goes like, oh my God, this is me. And then I'm going to say something to them, not them, but the other person, that they're going to hear, and it will land in their body differently because I'm not looking at them and they're not protecting. Yeah. And this huge expansion happens where that person feels less shame, and the people are transforming, and you don't even know about it because they're all there. And so there's this, you have to do, I do community work. I go and I receive, and I went to Peter Levine's retreat in Sedona and sat with a bunch of people and did the hard work. And that's part of the integrity of holding space for me of communities, is I know the power of it. And so I go do it. So yes, please come. It's June 2nd to 12th, and it's called Meet Yourself in Truth. And this also is the prerequisite step that I had to do. There's some work that we sometimes have to do to like get ready for change. And if you're needing a bit of encouragement around, yes, connecting maybe to how you feel, or you're hearing me talk for the first time, and maybe I'm your very first time that you've heard about self-help or personal development in this way. I'm also really fun. I'm really bold. I'm very expressed. I'm really fun to learn from. I'm very different from all the other flavors of ice cream out there. But this is a good prerequisite. And then also it's a beta, because I pull out actual curriculum from my 1-year program, Your Truth is Your Medicine, to test with people. And spoiler alert, Leah's going to be a teacher in the 1-year program. So, I'm very excited for, and then also because I like really value transparency as well. At one point in this 10-day thing, there will be an invitation, and it is just an invitation if you wanted to join the 1-year thing, because we're testing it. And if you like it, you should come. But if you don't want to come, don't come, you know, just come for a free 10-day experience and like get some personal development, look under the hood of the car. We up-tune our closets, our cars. Like, when was the last time you really sat with yourself? So I also name in session 1, like, everything. So it's a fully transparent experience. And yes, Leah is going to be doing 2 talks because we could not nail it down to 1. So brilliant and has so much genius to give. And and Leah, I also just want to say thank you. It takes such trust to bring somebody into our audience. And I appreciate you trusting with me and bringing me in here. And to everybody listening as well, like, your presence and attention, there's so much competing for it.
Yes.
If you've got this far in this conversation, thank you. Thanks for the gift of your presence. And if this is it, I love this. And if you want to come hang out in real life, everything's filmed live. Tell me that where you came from, Leah, so I can see you in the chat box. And if that abortion article is something that you want to read, it's on Elephant Journal. I feel like it's a really good resource if you have somebody also in your life that might feel alone in that experience to share. So that was on Elephant Journal. This is so good. I love the work that you do to support people, because naturopathic medicine is so much more curious and investigative and holistic. And you are that anyway. And so thank you for also helping people to look at the physical pain and in the dynamic and beautiful way that you do. I just like, the second I met Leah, I was in love with her.
You're so sweet.
We had a very fast, we had like a instantaneous peace. And so I understand why everybody is here for you. And I'm so excited to have you be a part of this, but, yeah. And thank you for having me here and spending time in your day, hearing my story.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing. I feel like a lot of people are going to resonate with so much of what you said. And I am so excited for this 10-day event. I'm going to go myself because I love all of this. If anyone's listened to any of my other podcasts, I talk so much about the work and the healing and everything that's gone into my journey. And these are the kind of things that I have done and the kind of work that is required to get to the place where you have true healing. And so I'm so excited. I can't wait. And there is a link if you guys want to apply to be that beta in the show notes of this podcast. So check that out. And thank you for coming on this show, Yana. I'm so thrilled that we got to connect.
Me too. Thank you so much, Leah.
Before you go, there's one last thing. Did you know that we have a swag store now? The Healthy as a Mother store, where we sell amazing merchandise that is fun to wear. We have shirts and hats and sweatshirts. We have drinkware, bags, journals, all of the things that are healthy as a mother or related to motherhood in general. We would love if you could support our podcast by checking out our store. We love doing what we do, and it's really helpful to get the support and also to spread the word and share our amazing brand with the world. And you get some really cool, awesome stuff. One of my favorites is the crop sweatshirt and one of our glasses that we sell that says Healthy as a Mother. I just think it's so great. So head to www.healthyasamother.com/store to check out what we have. Again, that is healthyasamother.com/store. And we are absolutely open to feedback. If there's something you would like to see that is not at the store, we can make a lot of different things there. So head over there, check it out, and we would love to see you sporting some Healthy as a Mother gear. And if you take a picture of yourself on Instagram, definitely tag Dr. Morgan and I, and we will be sure to share. Again, that is healthyasamother.com/store to check out our merchandise.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content. We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time.
And please remember that the ideas and views of this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. And remember, a healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.